Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 15th chapter, text 41. Well, Archita, yesterday did. You're right. All right. So you did the first 7 verses. And, okay, so let's see. So today would be 7, 8, and 9. We'll chant 9, I guess, because 9 has the purport. Okay, all right. How did I? Okay. So I'll just chant 7 and 8 by myself and read the translations, no purport, and then we'll chant 9 together. Varena chandayamasa prita satyavati sutta bhavre hatanam ramopi jivatam chasmritam badhe. Translation. Jamadagni, the son of Satyavati, was very much pleased with Parashuram and asked him to take any benediction he liked. Lord Parashuram replied, "Let my mother and brothers live again and not remember having been killed by me. This is the benediction I ask." Utastushte kusalino nidrapaya ivanjasa pitur vidvams tapo viryam ramas chakre suridvadam. Translation. Thereafter, by the benediction of Jamadagni, Lord Parashuram's mother and brothers immediately came alive and were very happy, as if awakened from a sound sleep. Lord Parashuram had killed his relatives in accordance with his father's order because he was fully aware of his father's power, austerity, and learning. Don't try this at home, by the way. Okay. All right, number 9, and this we'll chant together. Yarjunasya Sutarajan. Yarjunasya Sutta Rajan Smaranta Swapitur Vadam. Smaranta Swapitur Vadam. Ramavirya Parabhuta. Ramavirya Parabhuta. Lebade Sharmanak Vachit. Lebade sharmanakvachit. Yarjunasya sutta rajan. Smaranta swapitur vadam. Ramavirya parabhuta. Lebade sharmanakvachit. Others, please. few more chanters. That's okay. Vaishnavis. Yay! Those who? Arjunasya of Kartavir Arjuna. Suta, sons. Rajan, O Maharaj Pricket. Smaranta, always remembering. Swapitu Vadam, their fathers having been killed by Parashuram. Ramavirya Padabhuta, defeated by the superior power of Lord Parashuram. Lebire, achieved. Sharma, happiness. Na, not. Kvachit, at any time. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear King Pricket, the sons of Kartavir Arjuna, who were defeated by the superior strength of Parashuram, never achieved happiness, for they always remembered the killing of their father. Jamadagni was certainly very powerful due to his austerities, but because of a slight offense by his poor wife, Renuka, he ordered that she be killed. This certainly was a sinful act, and therefore Jamadagni was killed by the sons of Kartavir Arjuna. So this is the first time this is being mentioned, actually. It was described previously how he ordered that to be done, but this is the first time it's being mentioned by Prabhupada in his purport that it actually was a sinful act for him to do that. It wasn't, the correct thing for him to do. Lord Parashuram was also infected by sin because of killing Kartavir Arjuna, although this was not very offensive. Basically, because he was, even though he was a Kshatriya, and as his father pointed out, it's sinful to kill a Kshatriya king, but he was aggressive. He was coming and stealing the Kamadhenu cow, etc. So I guess that's why it was not very offensive. And you're reading on. Therefore, whether one be Kartavir Arjuna, Lord Parashuram, Jamadagni, or whoever one may be, one must act very cautiously and sagaciously. Otherwise, one must suffer the results of sinful activities. This is the lesson we receive from Vedic literature. Om Aginatam Anam Desha Jananjana Shalak Gaya Chakshuramilitam Yena Tasma Shri Gudavena Maha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamana Kadamayam dadati swapadantikam. Right. So, yeah, Prabhupada says, whoever one may be, one must act very cautiously and sagaciously. Otherwise, one must suffer the results of sinful activities. This is the lesson we receive from Vedic literature. So we receive that lesson from the Vedic literature, many different places, most likely. I'm not a Vedic scholar, so I couldn't say, but I'm aware of one. Can anybody think of one place in the Vedic literature where we receive that lesson? I'm fishing for like a verse. Can you think of a verse where it's basically saying just what Prabhupada's saying here, that you have to act very cautiously and sagaciously, otherwise you're going to suffer the results of sinful activities? I can think of one. There's probably more than one. Nobody could think of it? Huh? Somebody want to guess? Okay, guesses. We're going to take guesses here. Anybody want to guess? A verse that says that you have to act very cautiously and sagaciously, otherwise you're going to suffer results of sinful activities. Not exactly. Well, actually, the one I was thinking of is Jagyar Tat Kamanoniyatra Loko Yam Karma Bandana Tadartam Karma Kuntaya Mukta Sangha Samachara. This is Krishna speaking. Third chapter of Bhagavad Gita says, work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to the material nature. Therefore, perform your prescribed duty for his satisfaction, and in this way, always remain unattached and free from bondage. And so that's the verse. It's making the point that if you don't act, if you're not acting according to, the prescribed duties of the Shastras, Jagya, if you're not performing Jagya, any activity you perform that's not being regulated by a Vedic injunction, you're acting outside, the Vedic authority, you're going to get a karmic reaction for that. You're going to get a reaction for that. As Prabhupada points out here, no matter who you are, no matter who you are, it doesn't matter, you're going to get a sinful reaction. So, it's just like in that pastime with, where Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman and Sita were in the forest, and Ravana wanted to try to kidnap Sita, so he devised this plan. He approached Maricha, who is a demon, and he told him, okay, he had mystic powers, I want you to pretend you're a deer, and in this way lure Sita away, lure Ram away, from, because Sita will want that deer. So anyway, people know the story, but, So that Maricha, he had to do it because he knew if he didn't do it, he'd get killed by Ravana. So it's the famous part, either better to be killed by Ram than Ravana. So he decided, okay, I'll have to do it, but I know I'm going to be killed by Ram, but it's better to be killed by Ram than Ravana. So he went and disguised himself as a deer, and sure enough, Sita saw the deer, and as he hopped off into the forest, and she wanted it, and she convinced Ram to go get it. Even though it's this, he was saying, no, I don't. Not a good idea. He actually knew right off the bat. He said, that's not a deer. That's Maricha. That's the demon disguised as a deer. But she insisted, so he said, okay. But he left Lakshman there, and he said, you have to stay here with Sita under no circumstances. Leave her. You have to protect her like that. And, so he went off to chase after the deer or to chase after Maricha. So then, after some time passed, and then there was a call from the forest, Lakshman, Sita, help, like something like that, And it was Ram's voice, but it was actually Maricha. And he was able to disguise his voice in such a way that it sounded just like Ram. So they thought, Sita thought that Ram is in trouble, he's in danger. So she told Lakshman, you have to go help him. But Lakshman also, he knew. But no, that's not the case. It's Maricha. He's disguising his voice to sound like Ram, and it's a trick. But she insisted, and she actually, persuaded him somehow or another that he had to do it. So anyway, the real point is, though, that, so he said, reluctantly, unwillingly, he agreed that he would go and try to save Ram, rescue Ram or whatever. And but he said, okay, so here's what I'm going to do, because Ram told me to stay here and protect you. So, I mean, I can't, you know, you're telling me to go, but I'm going to draw a circle around you. As long as you stay within that circle, nothing can, you know, you're protected. Nothing can harm you. But if you come outside that circle, then that's it. So, and, you know, we know the story. He went off, and then Ravana showed up disguised as a sannyasi, and he kind of tricked her to come out of the circle. I don't know if she fully came out of the circle, if she just took her arm, came out of the circle. And anyway, he was able to trick her enough to, she came out of the protective circle, and Ravana was able to kidnap her like that. So there's an analogy. You know, just like that, Lakshman made that circle, and she was protected as long as she stayed in that circle. But if she came out of that circle, then she was vulnerable. So in the same way, the living entity here in the material world, as long as he stays within the Vedic injunctions, you know, he's protected. But as soon as you step outside those Vedic injunctions, as soon as you act, you know, in a way that's against the Vedic injunctions, then you're fair game. You're vulnerable. You're going to get, as mentioned here, you're going to be have to suffer the results of sinful activities. So now in this day and age, we don't know whether, you know, the average person, I'm bringing this back home, so to speak, you know, putting it down to earth now. People don't know what the Vedic injunctions are. People don't even know what the Vedas are. You know, most people haven't even heard of them. Or if they have, they don't certainly know what they are. And even devotees, we've been in the movement between like one day and 50 years, some of us, you know, and we don't know what the Vedic injunctions are about so many different things. But so how do we practically apply this? Well, for us, the Vedic injunctions are the instructions of the spiritual master. You see, that's that protective circle, the instructions of the spiritual master. And, you know, if we just follow the instructions of the spiritual master, we're following the Vedic injunctions. And you get the protection. You're protected. Just like, you know, Sita was protected by that circle. So in the same way that the devotees, the disciples, are protected by the instructions of the spiritual master. As long as we're following the instructions of the spiritual master, we're protected. And we're not going to get the reactions, the results of sinful activities. Okay? But as soon as we deviate from the instructions of the spiritual master, then we're fair game for Maya. You know, Maya will just pick us off, just like a fox, you know, when the chickens or whatever, that, you know, the sheep that get outside the, you know, the jurisdiction of the sheep herd, they get picked off, you know. So in the same way, if we get outside that parameter of the instructions of the spiritual master, then we're gonna have problems. So specifically, you know, Prabhupada, in that verse that I was quoted, you know, that Yagnar Tat Kamanan Yatsara, that work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. So once again, it's a very broad instruction. You'd have to know what are the sacrifices for Vishnu. Well, once again, the instruction of the spiritual master comes into play. We're told, we learn from the spiritual master, from Srila Prabhupada, that in this day and age, we can't do the different jagyas. We can't do the different sacrifices. And actually, the only sacrifice that's recommended in the age of Kali is jagyai sankirtana prayai, yajanti hisamedasa. That we're only recommended, the only sacrifice we're recommended to perform in the age of Kali is sankirtan jagya, congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And once we learn that from the spiritual master, so it's a Vedic injunction, but it's tied in to the instruction of the spiritual. We learn that from the spiritual master. So, point being, so the instructions of the spiritual master are, of utmost importance. They're paramount, you know, topmost importance. And there was another point I was trying to make here. That in the same purport that I just kind of referred to, where it was talking about the only sacrifice to be performed is the Sankirtan Jagya, it was pointing out, like Prabhupada says, I'll just read a couple sentences from this purport, verses up. It says, anyone in this material world, however, however careful he may be, must commit some sinful activities, even though he does not want to. So this is relating to today's verse in purport, so I'm just reading a few sentences here. For example, one may trample many small ants and other insects while walking on the street, and kill many living beings unknowingly. Therefore, the Vedic principle of Panchajagya, five kinds of recommended sacrifices, is compulsory. So in general, this is what people were following. You know, they had to form these five kinds of sacrifices to counteract the sinful activities they were performing knowingly and even unknowingly, such as trampling on ants and other insects, when you're grinding spices, there's five of them, you know, grinding spices in a mortar and pestle, you're killing living entities, when you breathe, when you boil water, you know, so many different ways, even unknowingly, you're killing living entities or committing sinful activities. So it's recommended that one perform this Panchajagya. But it says here, in this age of Kali, however, there is a great concession given to people in general. And then it quotes, Jagnaya Sankirtana Prayaya Janti Yusamedasa. We may worship Lord Chaitanya, the hidden incarnation of Krishna, Krishna Varnam Tusa Krishnam. Although he is Krishna himself, he always chants the Hare Krishna and preaches Krishna consciousness. One is recommended to worship the incarnation, this incarnation, by chanting the Sankirtan Jagya. The performance of Sankirtan Jagya is a special concession for human society to save people from being affected by known or unknown sinful activities. We are surrounded by unlimited sins, and therefore it is compulsory that one take to Krishna consciousness and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, once again, in today's verse, it's saying that Prabhupada's saying, whoever one may be, one must be very act very cautiously and sagaciously, otherwise one must suffer the results of sinful activities. This is the lesson we receive from the Vedic literature. So here, in this last purport I read, it's giving us some very specific information how to do that, which is to perform the Sankirtan Jagya. And the more general principle is to follow the instruction of the spiritual master. This is a very important, specific application of that, you know, performing the Sankirtan Jagya. But in general, the principle is follow the instruction of the spiritual master. You know, that's everything. You know, like there's actually one verse, I think, Prabhupada, in the Bhagavad Gita, there's second chapter, there's that verse, Vyavasayatmika Budhe Eke Hakudanandana. The intelligence of those who are resolute is one in purpose, whereas the intelligence of those who are really irresolute is many branched. So Prabhupada got inspiration from that verse. He saw a commentary on that verse by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and he's making the point that the instruction of the spiritual master has to be the life and soul of the disciple. It's our lifeline. It's our lifeline. It's just like if somebody's, you know, in the ocean or something, you know, like that, and they're trying to swim. Prabhupada uses this example actually twice in the Bhagavad Gita and in various lectures he gives. Even if you could be the Olympic gold medalist for the 100-meter freestyle, it doesn't matter. You know, you ain't going to make it. If you drop right in the middle of even the Pacific Ocean, and it's called Pacific Ocean because it's peaceful, you know, but you're going to get worn out. You're going to get worn out. But if somebody comes in a helicopter or a boat or a helicopter and drops you a rope and you grab onto it, you know, and they can pull you out, that's the only way you're going to be saved. So in the same way, the only way we could be saved, the instructions of the spiritual master are like that rope. It's the only way we can be saved. That's why every morning we're saying, you know, once again, we just finished saying, the lotus feet of our spiritual master are the only way by which we can attain pure devotional service. I bow down to his lotus feet in great awe and reverence. You know, there's a reason why we sing these songs every day. You know, it's not just so that we get good at repeating things. It's because they're super important. You know, the message is super important, and it's meant that by repeating, it's hoped that we will think about what it is we're saying and meditate on it and have that understanding go deep into our psyche, into our heart. The lotus feet of our spiritual master, the only way by which we can attain pure devotional service. Lotus feet means service. Prabhupada said that. I'm not making that up. Prabhupada said lotus feet means service. The lotus feet of our spiritual master are the only way by which we can attain pure devotional service. I bow down to his lotus feet with great awe and reverence. By his grace, one can cross the ocean of material suffering and obtain the mercy of Krishna. This next stanza is very interesting. My only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. That's a nice one. My only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. So in other words, the instructions of the spiritual master, the words which we receive in the form of words, written and spoken, with, in Prabhupada's case, mostly spoken, because very early on in his in the movement, Prabhupada started dictating the books into a dictaphone. So practically, you know, there's even the written words were initially spoken into the dictaphone, and then, of course, there's the Prabhupada's lectures, and etc. But the point being, though, that this Narottam Das Thakur, I was going to say this devotee, Narottam Das Thakur is praying that he wants his consciousness be purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth, from his spiritual master's lotus mouth. That means that they have a certain potency. You know, they have a potency. They have pure transcendental sound vibration. Just hearing the words from the spiritual master, from the pure devotee, it's purifying to the consciousness. And this is not just his sentiment. This is supported, you know, by different statements in the Vedic literature, such as Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyantak Stohi Abhadudani Vidunoti Saritsatam, that explains that Krishna is seated within the heart of every living entity, and he purifies the consciousness of the sincere devotee who relishes his messages when properly heard and chanted. In other words, the very sound vibration is purifying. You know, just what to speak of. What to speak of understanding, what to speak of following, even just hearing, even just being willing to receive the sound vibration of the pure devotee is going to be purifying to the consciousness. And that's why in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's that famous pastime where Lord Chaitanya was with Ramananda Roy, and Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy, please instruct me on the goal of life. And Ramananda Roy was kind of feeling uncomfortable because, you know, he was a Kaya. I can't remember what caste he was. I think it was Sudra, actually. But, and also he was, you know, he was kind of engaged in government service. He didn't feel himself qualified. Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi. He was, you know, Brahmin, sannyasi. He didn't feel qualified. He felt, and, you know, but Lord Chaitanya encouraged him and said, no, it's okay. You know, and that's when he made that famous statement, Kiba Vipra, Kiba Nyasi, Sudra Keno Noi, Ye Krishna Tattva Veda Se Guru Hoi. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether you're a learned Brahmin, Kiba Vipra, Kiba Nyasi, or Sannyasi, or Ye Kiba Vipra, Kiba Nyasi, Sudra Keno Noi, or a Sudra. Ye Krishna Tattva Veda Se Guru. Anyone who knows the science of Krishna, they can be guru and they can instruct. So that's when Lord Chaitanya gave that instruction. You know, foundational instructions of our movement. Anyway, so then Ramananda said, okay, he surrendered. And so he started, you know, submitting different proposals to Lord Chaitanya as what was the perfection of life, what was the goal of life. And Lord Chaitanya was rejecting. I think he rejected like four or five proposals. And finally he got to this one proposal, which was he quoted a verse from Lord Brahma, that is found in Lord Brahma's prayers, I think 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where he says, Stane stita shutikatan tan ban manobir, that just stay in your position. You know, just stay in your position and hear submissively from a self-realized soul. And in this way, the unconquerable, the ajita, you know, the unconquerable Lord who's, you know, normally is can be conquered by this process. Lord Chaitanya, that was the first one. He accepted that. He said, yes, actually, that's good. He accepted that. So same thing, it's just substantiating that point that it's so important just to hear, and just to hear the words of the spiritual master. It's purifying to the consciousness. And what to speak if you have understanding and then actually trying to follow him, you know, put it into practice in your life. This might sound a little fanatical even, but you know, I'm going to say it. I know myself. I'll lead you into this. Okay, I'll give three extreme examples of how powerful, of how effective, and I find the words of the spiritual master. I used to suffer from sleeping disorder. You know, way back, I can't remember what, I can't trace the beginning, maybe 30 years ago, something like that. And anyway, what I did to solve the problem, and I did totally solve it, was I remembered that reading in the Krishna book about how the these living entities, you know, ghosts or whatever, can't disturb you, or they can't simultaneously exist in a place where the holy name is being chanted. It's in the Krishna book in some early chapter. So, anyway, my attraction was to listening to Prabhupada, and what I did was I just started, got into this habit of playing Prabhupada lecture just as I go to sleep at night. And I just, back in those days, there wasn't, you know, just tape recorders, so you had to have a tape and flip it over like that. There wouldn't even, so, but I started doing that and it just knocked the problem right on the head. Like that, finished. These guys just split. And I, from, you know, from the time I decided to do that, I stopped having that problem. Except for when I had to get up and turn over, you know, and the tape finished playing sometimes, then they'd come and try to get me. But, you know, once we got the real, you know, the, what's it called, the continuous loop type of thing, then I was totally free. And I've continued doing it. And I love it. And, you know, and I don't do it for that reason anymore, but I just do it because it's nice. I have this faith, I have this confidence that this is pure transcendental sound vibration. Whatever's supposed to happen that's good will happen if I just allow myself, just expose myself to this pure transcendental sound vibration. And so I just, you know, before I go to sleep, and I'll just lie in my bed and have Prabhupada and I'm just listen, and I have it at this volume, you know, normal speaking volume. I don't have it loud or soft. I just, you know, just how I'd normally be listening to it. And I just feel confident, and this is what happens, that I'll just listen and I just, you know, fall asleep at some point and it plays. And I think I have better dreams because, you know, it's going the whole time while I'm asleep. And if I have to wake up to go to the bathroom, there's Prabhupada speaking. You know, if you wake up because you're uncomfortable and you got to change your position, there's Prabhupada speaking. And you catch, you know, a few words here and there, you catch a bit. And it's really nice. And then and when you wake up in the morning, there's Prabhupada, you know, lecturing right away. And you just immediately get, for me, it's the easiest way for me to try to always remember Krishna and never forget him. Because, you know, if you're hearing Prabhupada, that's you remembering Krishna. So, you know, I really like doing it. It helps a lot. And another thing I do, which is maybe like even a little more out there, but sometimes, you know, if you're feeling a little bit shaky, and, you know, I guess I know that happens. I mean, so it happens to me, probably happens to everybody. Something I do, it's helped a lot, is I'll sit in my car and I'll put on like a Prabhupada lecture. And I'll just try to relax and hear it. And, you know, without automatically, I understand, I hear it, and I understand what he's saying. But I'm not concentrating on that. I just try to sit there and relax and just hear what Papa's saying. And I pray to the words. It might sound a little weird, but I do that. Because I actually think of that the words, hearing Prabhupada's voice is a deity for me. It's actually a deity. You know, and I actually, because I feel like it's my most primary connection to Krishna. More primary than anything else. I mean, and I'll get into that in a second. But it's my most primary connection to Krishna. And I'm thinking like, this is, for me, this is Prabhupada. This is my, because I didn't have a lot of association, really, no, practically no, you know, Vapu association with Prabhupada. My 99.99% of my association with Prabhupada is just that, is listening, hearing Prabhupada, his words, you see? So that's Prabhupada for me, his words. I pray to the words, you know? I actually pray as if I'm Prabhupada's there. And I feel like Prabhupada's there, you know? And I pray to the words. It's, you know, it's very, it helps a lot. And sometimes also if I'm feeling, kind of shaky, I'll do something like, and this I don't recommend, but, you know, I've done it and it has helped. You get up early, you have a bad night or something like that, you feel a little anxious, and I'll start chanting and it's still, you know, I feel a little anxiety like that. I leave the tape on, or I leave the lecture on, and I have Prabhupada lecturing in the background and I'm chanting. And, you know, as I said, I don't recommend it because the 11th offense is to be inattentive while chanting. So I can't recommend that, but I have to admit I've done it on occasion and it helps. It helps, you know, just hearing Prabhupada's voice and just hearing what he has to say. It's like having Krishna there. It's like having Krishna there just going, don't worry, it's all right, everything's okay, you know, and you chant and it helps me actually, at least on those occasions, feel like chant more attentively, you know. And then when I start feeling better, I could just, you know, turn it off and just kind of keep going. But it does help. And on this point of how important, you know, and how powerful the instructions of, you know, instructions of this, you know, Prabhupada are, just going to back up a little bit, try to get my train of thought back here again, is the example I gave before that was the one where I'm praying to the words. Oh, yeah, praying to the words is my most primary connection. Thank you, Krishna. Yeah, so, and I'll give you an example of what I mean. For me, if when Prabhupada was here, if Prabhupada said, and then, now how important is worshiping the deity? Really important, right? It's really important. Obviously, you know, it's Krishna. But when Prabhupada was here, if Prabhupada would have said, okay, stop worshiping the deities. You know, you're all too immature. You're making too many offenses. Stop worshiping the deities. I would do it. I would have done it without, you know, I mean, you understand what I'm saying? It's got such an important thing, worshiping the deities. But if Prabhupada said, stop worshiping the deities, I would have just... If Prabhupada said, stop going out on book distribution, I would stop going out on book distribution. If Prabhupada said, stop chanting Hare Krishna, I'd even stop chanting Hare Krishna. You see? If Prabhupada said, stop worshiping the deities, stop going out on book distribution, stop chanting Hare Krishna, just go out on the farms and protect cows, which he did say. He didn't say all those other things first, but he did say, go out on the farm and protect cows. But I would do that. You see, so in other words, just to give you, just to try to make the point of how powerful the instruction of the spiritual master is, that all these other things we're doing are just like based upon that. You know, that's the active principle. I think that's in that one of those purports. The active principle of spiritual life is the instruction of the spiritual master. It's that powerful. You know, it's a game changer. It's a life changer. You know, what Prabhupada said, or you know, that's what. That, you know, like Sringananda was making the point in his class, his homage yesterday, most important person in my life, he's changed, affected my life more than my mother or my father. You know, Prabhupada said something, and your life changed, because you have to, the proper understanding was, we're not going to modify what Prabhupada said. We have to modify our consciousness and our lives to follow what Prabhupada said. Okay? So, okay, thank you again. A Shastric example of that is when Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, all of a sudden, a godbrother of his showed up, Govinda. And he came and said, okay, I've been sent here by Ishvara Puri to be your servant. And Lord Chaitanya was, you know, he was kind of like, okay. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there, and I can't remember who else was there. But Lord Chaitanya was kind of like, he was reluctantly, but he was, okay, well, you know. Because, and then he was being questioned. Maybe it was by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, maybe it was by Gopinath Acharya. I can't remember. If anybody remembers, they can raise their hand and tell me if you remember clearly. But he said, how could Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do that? That's like, you know, totally violating the Vaishnava etiquette. He can't accept his godbrother as his personal servant. That's, you know, it's like a transgression of Vaishnava etiquette. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he said, that's right, but, you know, the order of the spiritual master is very powerful. And it can't be, it supersedes that transgression of Vaishnava etiquette. It supersedes all other things. See, so on the strength of that, and this person who he said that to, whoever it was, whether it was Gopinath Acharya or whoever it was convinced, yeah, that's correct, he agreed. That's a fact that, you know, if the spiritual master gave that instruction, that should happen, that Govinda should come and be Lord Chaitanya's personal servant, then that's what should happen, you know. So, you know, it's supported there. So it's, you know, super powerful. And, you know, what was... My mind's not cooperating with me this morning. But I'm going to try my best here. So, yeah. And the other point I wanted to make was... I think those were the two points I wanted to make. Okay, this is another story. And these instructions... the idea... getting back to the verse here. I started off on the wrong foot with this whole thing, because I actually prepared the wrong verse. The reason I started chanting going to the other verse, that's the class I prepared. I prepared this class while you were all chanting the shloka. But... So the idea is we want to become more and more attached, you know, to the words of the spiritual master, which is actually the next lines in the Guruvandana prayer that we sing every morning. He says, my only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth And then he goes on to say, attachment to his lotus feet is the perfection that fulfills all desires. See? So to become attached to his lotus feet means, for us, it means become attached to the instructions, attached to Prabhupada's words, to feel like I'm nowhere. I'm just like a helpless person, like that person in the ocean. I'm just like a helpless person who's been dropped in the ocean without the instructions of the spiritual master. And the more we're feeling like that, you know, that actually the more we're kind of narrowing in, zeroing in on perfection. We're supposed to be feeling like that. That's actually very important. And the evidence for that is anecdotal, but we just heard it last night. Yuvraj Maharaj, in that nice class he gave, Sunday Feast Lecture gave, told that story about when Prabhupada was passing away. And he was, you know, right at the end, he was saying that, actually, I just want to go to Govardhan Parikram. So just get a bullock cart, and they're saying, but Prabhupada, Prabhupada was wanting to do that, and some devotees were thinking, let's do it. This is just, Prabhupada wants it, we should do it. And others were thinking, no, it's crazy, it's insanity. You know, Prabhupada can't do that in this condition. And then, you know, we get to the point, the culmination of the story is that how it ended was Bhavananda and Tilmakrishna Maharaj Goswami, they approached Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you're driving us crazy. You can't do this. You can't possibly survive doing it. You're just putting us, you're putting us in so much anxiety. And Prabhupada was there, the godbrother was there at the time, and he said, you see how much, you see how much they care about me? And he said, so what do you want me to do? And he said, please don't go. He said, okay, if you don't want me to go, I won't go. So, and then afterwards they said to Prabhupada, you do things in such a way that as we're just becoming, more and more, like, attached to you. Like, he said, yes, that is my duty. See? So that's the idea. The idea is to become more and more attached to, the instruction of the spiritual master, to feel more and more that, without this Krishna consciousness, what's the point of my living? I can't go on. I can't, what's the point of life? The more we're feeling like that, the more we're feeling like this is the only meaningful thing in our own whole existence, and it's our only hope for being happy and successful in life, to that degree, we're actually making progress. We're actually getting, closer to where we want to be. So, what time is it? 8:24. I think I could stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comment or binge on Thibu? Yeah. Well, I have not read the entire Ramayana, but I've heard it many times. Uh-huh. Right. Well, I was also told, that story of Hanuman and the spider. You heard Prabhupada say that in the lecture? Okay. Can anybody help me out on this one? Is this a bona fide story? I've been saying it in classes for years, and I've heard it many, many times. Anybody think of a Shastric reference for that? Huh? It is in the Ramayana. Okay, well, we'll have to do some research on that. These things happen. Some stories slip in there. Anybody else? Anything they'd like to ask or comment? Okay, thank you very much. Gunter Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.